I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 onwards. You know, Apostle Paul was a tremendous man of God, and he established the church in Corinth. And after he was there for more than 1.5 years, and after he left, he came to know that it was not going so well with the Corinthian church. Then he was deeply concerned. He prayed for them with tears. He sent letters of correction because he was a spiritual father. You know, these days, very few Christian leaders are concerned about the spiritual growth of their flock. And here, we can see the burden of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Or in other places it says, God gave the growth. Or in the Living Bible it says, God caused the garden to grow in your hearts. You know, the Corinthian brothers and sisters, they were genuinely saved by the ministry of Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul could testify that it's God who gives the growth. And verse 7 he says, So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the growth. Apostle Paul had such humility, he could say, I'm nothing. I just planted the word of God. And then Apollos came and he watered the word of God. And it is God who caused the spiritual growth. And that's a very good verse for all of us to remember. Even if God uses you mightily, to have the humility to say, it's not me. It's God who did the spiritual work, and then you give God all the glory. That is the mark of true humility. Humility is not saying, oh, I'm nothing. No, Paul said, I planted, some Apollos watered, but God gave the glory. In other words, Apostle Paul gave God all the glory. This morning, I am concerned for the spiritual growth of many brothers and sisters. Many have come here newly and for some years now, but we find that not everyone is growing in the Lord. And we want to consider this subject of spiritual growth. You know, you go and ask any farmer, what is the secret of a good harvest? He has to plant the right seeds. He has to sow. The good farmer knows he will reap what he sows. He has to plant good seeds, remove the weed, use fertilizers, and then he gets and if he's diligent in watering the crops, he gets a good crop. Same way, you know, we can think about our life here on earth. You know, a baby, it grows in the womb for nearly 9 to 10 months. And after the baby comes into the world, the baby has to keep on growing. And you know, that is the longing and desire of all the mothers. My baby must grow. Little by little, little by little. And when the baby grows, the mother is very happy. And when the baby is not eating, when the baby is sick, the mother feels very, very sad. And we want the children to grow, go to school, become teens, finish their college education. I was thinking, how much pains we take to educate our children. 10 years of schooling, 2 years of PUC, then 3 to 4 years of university degree, then further 2 years of post-graduation. And if you want them to continue to do PhD, another 5 years. Imagine, 20 to 25 years of, 23 years of hard work, study, so that they can have a good future. And that's what all the parents wish for the children. We want our children to study well and keep studying. and do as well as they can, and then get a good job and get married, and that's how the cycle of life grows. As I said, Paul was a spiritual father. He wanted his children to grow. And he, to the Corinthians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, "This we wish, even your maturity," or perfection as it says. And to the Ephesians he wrote, "I want you to grow up to the maturity of Christ." That's like saying, "I want you to finish your PhD. Unfortunately, many of God's children are school dropouts. So many drop out in school. Very few go up to university in the spiritual life, and very few further on. And to Colossians, he said, "We want to present, we labor and teach to present every man mature in Christ." What a goal, dream Apostle Paul had for his flock. Hebrews 6:1, it says, "Let us press on to maturity." And that's what we have stressed over the years. We're not happy if people are saved. We're happy they're saved, but we're not happy if they remain there. We're happy if they move on and get filled with the Holy Ghost, but we don't want them to remain there. We want them to go on with the Lord and become strong and mature in the Lord. And you know, Jesus, when he was on earth, the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus was obedient every day to the word of God. He never did his own will. So Jesus came to tremendous growth. He did all the will of God. Every word of God was obeyed. And the Father was very happy. And few followed Jesus in his footsteps like Apostle Paul. He too came to a tremendous spiritual growth. Because he said, "One thing I do." Paul was determined to grow. He was not wishy-washy. He didn't take Christian life lightly. He took Christian life very seriously. And so at the end of his life, he could say, "I finished my course." He completed God's plan for his life. And Timothy, who followed Apostle Paul, told Timothy, "Let your progress be evident to all." And that's what we wish for all of you, dear brothers and sisters. You must grow and keep on growing, and your progress must be evident to all. We have not yet reached there, but we have to work our way towards there. So this morning I want to show you a little bit as to why the Corinthians did not grow despite the tremendous ministry of Apostle Paul. You know, many things were wrong in the Corinthian church. So I just want to highlight a few things. Even though there were many, many things, I just want to highlight at least five things that were wrong in the Corinthian church, and therefore Apostle Paul wrote to them to set right. For example, many of the Corinthians, they're living in sexual sin. They were carnal, fleshly, worldly. They were babes. And therefore Apostle Paul said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" 1 Corinthians 6:19. Verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" You know, Apostle Paul told them many times, know ye not. Because they didn't know. And they used their body for sin, for fornication, and many other types of sin. And therefore, Apostle Paul told them, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 6:13. "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." He was telling you, brothers and sisters, don't use your body for sexual sin. And you know, he gave them strong exhortations. For example, verse 18. He says, "Flee fornication." Just imagine what will happen to CFC if every young brother and every brother in the church ran away from every type of sexual sin. We'll be left with a pure church. I don't assume that we have come to that place. In other words, they were tolerating many sexual sins in the church, and they were not even ashamed of it. You know, Paul was a strict man. He told them to take some disciplinary action against all those who were living in sin. Even though he didn't go there, but he wrote such strong letters through them. He said, put him out of the church. The fellow was living in sin. Oh, you say, oh brother, we should not be so harsh. See, Apostle Paul was concerned about the glory of God. He was concerned about the purity of the church. And we want such a church here in CFC, that we want brothers especially who will take sin seriously. I want to tell all of you, brothers constitute nearly 50% of the church. And if all of you are pure, if you take sin seriously, and if you deal with sin in your thought life, you will not commit sin physically. And I want to ask you, are you contributing to the purity of the church? Can you say that because you came to the church, CFC became purer? Or have you defiled the church with your secret sins? Nobody knows what you're doing during the week, but the Lord knows. And if you're not growing spiritually, maybe it could be that you're not faithful with your body, with your eyes, with other members of your body, and you're using it for sin. And that's the reason you're not growing spiritually. Despite all your coming to the meetings and the conferences, you're not growing because you've not given your body to the Lord. And I want to encourage all of you, especially brothers, take this matter of purity in the sexual area seriously. In other places, in Ephesians, it says, fornication, other sins, it should not even be named among you. I wish I could say that about CFC. But I'm sorry, I don't know about all of you. But we want to press on towards that. Purity in the sexual area of brothers. First, physically, no fornication, no adultery, and purity in thought life. You know, the Lord knows our thought life. And the Lord should be able to testify. Yeah, the brothers and sisters. No, the brothers here, they are pure in their thought life. The Lord should be able to testify about our purity. Then we can say, the church is growing. And I want to say, purity amongst God's people is very, very important. And maybe you were slacked up. Once upon a time, you were very serious, very radical. Now we got mobile, we got internet. Have you defiled yourself through the internet? Or have you used it to edify yourself? It's up to you. Okay, that's number one. I don't have time to go through many other sins, but just five sins I want to highlight. And I want to encourage all of us, brothers, especially, get rid of all sexual sin in your life. Ask the Lord to give you victory in your thought life. Young brothers, why can't you ask the Lord to give you victory before your marriage? Then you can come into a wonderful life in marriage. Okay. Number two. See, Apostle Paul told them, the Corinthians, they didn't know how to handle the breaking of bread. They took it all light. They were living in sin. And they said, yeah, we can take part in the breaking of bread. And Apostle Paul said, for this cause, many of you, verse 30, chapter 11, verse 1 Corinthians 11, 30, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, they didn't take sin seriously. They had no consideration for the other brothers. They did not value their salvation. And they had a wrong attitude towards other brothers and sisters. And they didn't have a good fellowship. And I want to say, God is interested in fellowship. You know, there's a reason why we stopped the breaking of bread for some months. Because we found Many are not taking seriously the breaking of bread. You know, many got this Catholic idea. You know, Sunday morning, oh, breaking of bread, we get some blessing. I want to tell you, you don't get any blessing by taking part in the breaking of bread, but you get a blessing when you take sin seriously and when you value the brothers and sisters and value the relationship with them. Unity and fellowship, very important. And number three, the Corinthians did not value the body of Christ. Oh, they didn't understand that body of Christ means all those who have repented and turned their and given their lives to God. They give their bodies to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the body, and also they have fellowship with other members in the body of Christ. Everyone has got a function. There's no superiority. Nobody thinks because someone's got a prominent ministry, they're more important. Someone doesn't have any ministry, they're unimportant. No, if you have seen the body of Christ, every member is important and you value them. You know, there's no pride. Nobody says, I don't need the other people. That's pride. Humility is, I need the brothers and sisters. I need the fellowship with them. I need to learn from them. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that attitude towards one another? I have a fear. Not many value fellowship. How much time have you taken just to have fellowship with one another so that you can grow in the Lord? Brother, I don't care even if you don't give me coffee, tea in your house. I just want to have some fellowship with you. I'm sorry to say, I can't say that we are there right now. In other words, we are not valuing real fellowship with God-fearing people. You know, mark of spiritual growth is you have a connection with the Lord and you have a connection with one another. And then you grow in the Lord. You not only get nourishment from the Lord, you give what you received from the Lord to others, and that's how you grow. And you value the church, you value the brothers and sisters, you value fellowship, and you want to build them up, and you want to be built up. Oh, may the Lord help us to change our priorities. And I want you to examine in the light of these five things I'm sharing this morning. And number four, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Corinthians, Apostle Paul told them, he says, Satan has led you away from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. In the beginning, when they got saved, they loved the Lord. But, you know, I believe Corinth was located in a place where there was so much sin around, and they were defiled by the world. They were worldly, and they lost the devotion to Jesus. And Apostle Paul was deeply concerned. He said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I've exposed you to one husband that I may present you as chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, and the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want to ask all of you, dear brothers and sisters, how is your devotion to Jesus today? Never mind from the day you got saved, at least from the day you came to the church. Can you say now today you are totally devoted to the Lord? And Jesus means everything to you. That you are a disciple. That you love the Lord. Apostle Paul said, one thing I do. He counted everything else as rubbish and dung. He wanted to know Jesus. He was so gripped by Jesus. And we want such kind of brothers and sisters in the church. If you want to grow spiritually, find out, are you devoted to Jesus? You know, I'm deeply concerned that we have many, many good brothers and sisters, but average. How do you like a teacher in the school? He finds majority of his students are all getting 35%. Good students, but just managing to pass. And I want to say that's not God's will. We must grow. We must get, you know, even Jesus spoke in that parable. They had to get 30, 60 and 100. Okay, next reason. Number five. You know, the Corinthians, they were proud. They did not value the life and the authority of Apostle Paul. They were questioning his apostleship and authority. And so much so, Apostle Paul had to explain much about his life, how much he suffered to prove his apostleship. I'm not surprised they didn't grow in the Lord. You know, if you're not growing in the Lord, maybe you're not accepting the spiritual authority God's given you. You're a good brother, but you're not growing. I remember once one young brother asked me, should I consult the elders to fall in love? I said, no, surely you don't have to consult. But I said, don't fall into a ditch. And sure enough, after some time he went away from the church. You can see the attitude. I want to ask you, dear brothers and sisters, how much do you value spiritual authority over your life? I want to save you from being like the Corinthians. Learn to respect spiritual authority, and the result will be you will grow. And so Paul had to tell them, have a checkup. Examine yourselves. You know, we tell all the patients, have a regular medical checkup to know what's happening, to whether everything's okay. And that's what we want to do in the next few months. We want to help you, dear brothers and sisters. We're not preaching to you. We are concerned about your lack of growth. And I want to encourage you to take some positive action from today onwards. If you want things to change, first acknowledge your condition. See, why you're not growing? Have you ever met your elders and asked them, brother, what do you think of me? You think I'm growing? Please help me. I believe that's humility. And the word of God says, let us lay aside every weight, sin and hindrance. You know who has to do that? God's not going to do that for you. I want to say that. Let us means me. I got to lay aside what's hindering me from spiritual growth. You identify. You do something to get the sin out of your life. Get the wrong attitude out of your life. Get rid of the stones and thorns and thistles. Make your heart soft. You got to be diligent to study God's word. And you know, when you take sin seriously, things will change. You know, when there's a lowliness of mind, grace of God comes. Then you don't compare yourself with anybody. Apostle, the Corinthians, they thought they were more spiritual than even Apostle Paul. But Apostle Paul knew that they were carnal. Because Apostle Paul, he compared himself only with Jesus. And he remained humble. And oh, may God give us grace to compare ourselves with Jesus and apostles and other great men of God. That will help us to remain in lowliness. Not think we have come somewhere. And another mark of spiritual growth is, have you become thankful for the church? Are you thankful for the brothers and sisters? I know some brothers, in the beginning, they were very thankful. But today, they don't have the same thankfulness. It says in another place, cultivate thankfulness. Have you started digging into God's word more than when you came to the church? Or you say, oh brother, I don't have time. You know, you've got to make time. All of us can give many excuses. But you've got to make time if you want to grow for God's word. And if you are growing spiritually, you will abound in love. You will seek the welfare of others. You will bless the others. You will encourage and strengthen the others. You know, when you're a baby, you only think about yourself. Nobody's visiting me. Nobody's encouraging me. But if you're growing, how can I build? How can I strengthen? And if you're growing, you'll have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're growing, you'll overcome sin. If you're growing in the Lord, you'll control your tongue. And oh my God, if you're growing in the Lord, you will get God's approval more and more. And you will value the approval of God more than the approval of men. And I want to kindle in you a hunger and thirst for spiritual growth. And I hope you say, Lord, at any cost I want to grow. I want to give you my testimony. I am more interested in my spiritual growth than my ministry. Yeah, I mean it. I want to grow in the Lord. Ministry should come out of our growth. Oh, may God help all of us, dear brothers and sisters, from today onwards, to give top priority to your spiritual growth. Have a checkup. Ask the Lord to give you light. Go and ask the elder brothers. Ask anyone. Brothers, please help me. Humble yourself. Let there be a revival. And may the Lord help all of us to grow. Because God's great longing for all of us is spiritual growth. not material prosperity, not earthly blessings. Can I say that from the time you came to the church, you've grown in the Lord? Oh, may we all bring joy to God's heart, joy to the heart of those who led us, and may we really, really give importance to spiritual growth.
We heard that growth comes from the Lord. Even in the natural realm, we plant a seed and we water it, but we can't make it grow. It's the Lord who has to cause it to grow. And the Lord who causes it to grow expects it to grow well and bear fruit, and bear much fruit. We as parents, we are concerned about our children. When they don't grow, we take them to the doctor and show what's wrong with them, why they don't have appetite, and why they're not eating, why they're not growing. And it's a matter of sorrow for parents when children are not growing. And we are very concerned about it. Just imagine if your child continues like that only, and somebody comes to your home and sees that your son or daughter, even after 20 years running about in the house with milk bottle, how do you feel? What is the grief that comes to the parent's heart? You know, the same way we can bring grief to the heart of our God, or joy for that matter, if we are serious in our Christian life and we take it seriously. Jesus emphasized very clearly in John 15. I want you to turn to that chapter. In John 15, Jesus said, verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does not bear fruit in me, Jesus takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it might bear more fruit." You see the contrast here. The one who doesn't bear fruit is taken away, and the one who is bearing fruit is being pruned. You know what is pruning? You ask a gardener, or you go to a gardener while he is gardening. He has a big long scissors to lop off branches which are a weight on the plant. Some dead twigs, some dried up twigs. He just lops them off, cuts them, prunes them, so that the plant grows properly and it bears much fruit. You learn it from an agriculturist or a horticulturist. You will come to know about all of that. And Jesus said here in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." You see, the secret of all growth is here. That is, that the branch should abide in the vine or in the main plant. If the branch does not abide in the plant, the moment it gets severed from it, it gets cut off, then the growth stops. The life is cut off. The sap will not flow to the branch. It is cut off, and it is only a matter of time before it dries up. Jesus says here, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, that means even if the branch was there in the main tree for years, there are trees, you see some trees hundreds of years, some trees they are there even more than 1,000 year old. Those trees, say, let us say one of the branches in the tree one day decides that I have stayed enough in this, I want to launch out on my own, and it gets cut off and then wants to go and get settled somewhere and then tries to bring forth fruit. You know what happens? The moment it is disconnected, the growth stops. the withering stops. You may not know it immediately, but just wait and see. It's only a matter of time. It has to be an integral part of the main tree in order to get the sap and nourishment to grow. The moment it is slightly cut off, let us say, so light, so slightly that even if a sheet of paper comes in between the branch and the tree, you think that that tree will grow, that branch will grow and bring forth any fruit? Impossible. That's what Jesus says here. Unless it abides in me. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. What's the secret? That the branch abides in him and the tree's sap is abiding in him, in the branch. Such a branch bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. The moment I don't abide in him, the moment I get disconnected from the Lord, I'm thrown away and dries up, and I'm gathered only to be cast into the fire and be burnt. And verse 10, Jesus says here, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You see, the secret of bearing much fruit or growing in the Lord is, Jesus says here, if you abide, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Jesus has given us an example here. Just like I kept the Father's commandment and I abide in him, so also you keep my commandment, and then that is the proof that you are abiding in me. And what is the commandment that Jesus gives? Can anyone tell? Young people? Go down, verse 12. Say, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. See, Jesus has given us an example as to how to love one another. He even loved Judas till the last day. Just as I have loved you, same way he says, just as I have kept my Father's commandment, keep my commandment. What is my commandment? That you love one another, just as I have loved you. And verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You see, it is not, the branch is not bothered about, you know, bearing fruit. It just stays put in the tree. And it doesn't run around. It is not concerned. It is not running here and there to, you know, make itself bear much fruit. It just stays put, or it just remains in the vine or in the main tree, gets connected, and it makes sure that it's not cut off. It stays close to that, being an integral part, drawing up nourishment and sap, and then it keeps growing. No branch is concerned about bearing fruit. Fruit comes naturally by abiding in the vine. So many people are concerned about activities. Activity is not the hallmark of Christian. And activity is not the prerequisite to bear fruit. Activity is only, you know, like fig trees that Adam and Eve tried to cover up their shame. Activities are just like the work that Martha wanted to do for the Lord when he visited their home, while Mary sat at his feet listening to his word. And whom did the Lord appreciate? He appreciated Mary and rebuked Martha for running around and doing so many activities for the Lord. Who was she trying to serve? He was trying to serve the Lord and his disciples. But the Lord was not so happy with her. Similarly, our activities are not going to bring any glory or honor to the Lord. Our activities should be a byproduct of our life in the Lord. When we abide in Him, and as we keep abiding in Him and we start bearing fruit, only then, you know, the Lord is pleased. And the ones with whom the Lord is pleased, He is always in the business of pruning. He brings trials and temptations, difficulties, tests, so that we can, you know, overcome them. And, you know, the intention of all the tests and trials is not to make you fail. You know, none of us, some of you are teachers. I was sharing in on Wednesday meeting. Teachers, what is the intention of you giving tests to your students? To make sure that they pass and get promoted to the higher class. Not that the intention is that they should fail. No. So our Heavenly Father also sends these trials and tests so that we may overcome them, be strong, and then get promoted and go to a higher class, as it were. You see, John the Apostle prayed a prayer in 3rd Epistle of John, chapter 2. It's only one chapter. I mean, chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, "My beloved, above all things, I desire that your soul may prosper and be in you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers," he says. Just imagine if God were to prosper each one of us according to the prosperity of our soul, and that was the main criterion, then think how our lives would be today. I think most of us would be disabled, would be sick, lying on sick beds, probably on wheelchairs, unable to move, unable to feed ourselves. If God had, according to that verse, would you just turn with me to that verse in John, 3rd John 2. "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." In proportion to the prosperity of your soul, if the Lord allows you to have physical health and prosperity, how many of us would have had good health today? So many of us are so content, and we are so, you know, satisfied with the way things are going with us. We are not bothered. Like the Lord Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, He said, "You don't know, you are wretched, blind, naked, miserable, but you don't know about that." Just imagine a leader of the church whose condition, according to the Lord, he is a miserable person, blind, naked. Such a person, he doesn't even know his condition, and the Lord says, "You're such a guy," and some of us may be like that, and we may not know it. What is the proof? Proof is that I don't have, first of all, hunger for the word, and I don't have hunger to or thirst to read even good books and listen to messages or spend time in quality time in prayer and quality time in fellowship. We don't have time for all these things. We just come on Sundays and go away. Is that our Christianity? Our Christianity is not when you walk into the hall on Sunday morning. Your Christianity is when you walk away from here till you come next Sunday. There your Christianity is tested. If you're not concerned about that, but you're only concerned about coming and warming your seat here, brother, you got to check your life, spiritual life, and see whether things are going the way it should. We have many stunted children in the church, but still they don't know about it. Their growth is not manifest. Like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, he says, take pains with these things and be absorbed in these things and take heed to your teaching and to yourself so that, you know, you can be saved and also that your progress may be made evident to all. When I'm not concerned about these things, about taking heed to my soul, about its welfare, about its growth, and I'm just satisfied just by coming to the meeting and going back, and during the week I don't have any interest in fellowshipping with one another, I don't have any interest in reading the Word of God, in prayer, and that's a clear indication, brother, sister, you are a dead branch. It's only a matter of time before you are gathered and thrown away. Just wake up before it is too late. Don't glory in the fact that you are coming to CFC. Don't glory in the fact that you got baptized here once upon a time. But how is it with you today? How are you today? Are you alive? Or are you dead? You ask any architect or a builder how they build a house. They don't build on a shaky foundation. They build on a proper solid foundation which is unshakable. You go to any marshy land where there is a lot of, you know, stagnant water there, and you don't find a solid ground. You think any builder will start building in such place? Jesus spoke about such a person in Matthew 7. He said, a foolish man built his house upon a sand, and then you know what happened. As long as you are shaky, or you are on a shaky ground. What do I mean by shaky ground? Shaky ground is that you are not sure in your heart whether God has forgiven your sins. One day you believe He has forgiven your sins. Another day you doubt whether God has forgiven or not. One day you have the joy of salvation. Another day you doubt your salvation. You are on a shaky ground. One day you are like this. One day you are up. One day you are down. You are not sure about your salvation. When you are not sure about your salvation, then you cannot grow anymore. You will be like that only year after year after year, and you will not be able to make any progress. And Paul says, their progress will be made evident to all. You want it to be known to everybody. Some people think that they are growing, but they are not. That can be seen very clearly by those who have discernment, because they don't have any interest in spiritual things. Neither knowing the Lord, nor His word, nor prayer, nor fellowship. None of these things. They just want to come, attend the meeting, and listen to good sermons and go. Does the Lord bear witness about your life? Does the Lord know you? You may be thinking, or you may be saying with your words, that I know the Lord. I got born again such and such a date. Like somebody said, those dates are on the tombstones. Let it not be said of us. Let it be said of us today. What is my condition? Jesus said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you are living on a day-to-day basis and checking your spiritual life on a daily basis, and evaluating your spiritual life on a daily basis and see how it is going today. Forget about yesterday's victory. Yesterday's victory is no guarantee for tomorrow's victory. Yesterday is gone. It is past. Today is a new day. Tomorrow, if God is pleased to give another day, that will be a gift. And I again need God's grace to live tomorrow. Ask the Lord, be in continual, perpetual dependence upon the Lord, and ask Him to give you grace and open your eyes to see things the way He sees, not the way you were 20 years back, but Are you alive today? This is what God is concerned about. Brothers and sisters, let us take our spiritual life seriously. Think about it. Live in the present. Live in the present. Don't quote back some old dates when you received the Holy Spirit, when you were born again, when you were baptized. Forget about that. Think about how it is today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And the psalmist says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're not rejoicing today, then there is something wrong. Something has gone wrong with you. Take every day as a gift from the Lord and take it seriously. And take your life seriously. And may the Lord cause us to grow for His glory. Amen.
I turn to a verse in Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. We can notice this expression here, grows with the growth which is from God. It doesn't say grows with a growth, it says the growth. And we can see clearly from this verse that the growth comes only from the Lord. In the Living Bible, it says like this, the same portion, and we grow only as we get our nourishment and strength from God. So, we see clearly that it is the Lord who has to give us the growth. If we come to a good church, if we have godly men around us, these things cannot help us to grow. The Lord is the one who makes us grow. And I believe the Lord has spoken to us this morning because He has hope for all of us. He wants all of us to grow. And if we go to the Lord sincerely this morning and say, Lord, I want this growth which comes from You, the Lord will give it to each one of us, brothers and sisters. That is the desire of His heart. That's why He has spoken to us through our elders. He wants to give us a growth that is from Him. There are two ways we can receive this growth. One is directly from Him. That is through the circumstances that God takes us through. We know about Abraham in Romans 4:20. We don't have to turn. It says he grew in faith, giving glory to God. God gives us a growth when we go through the crucible of testing, when we go through the crucible of trial. The intention is God wants to give us a growth when we go through that trial. So God wants to give us a growth that comes to us directly from Him. And God also wants to give us a growth that comes to us through each member in the body of Christ. We can turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We read here, growth of the body. And that is the growth God gives us through other members, like it says here, through every joint and through every member in the body. God wants to enrich our lives, bless our lives with a growth that is from Him, but we can receive that only through other members of the body. If we value every member in the body, God is able to pass on that growth to us through that member. But if we don't value certain members in the body, a growth which could have come to us doesn't come to us. Let us really value every brother and sister in the church, that there is something God wants to bless us through everyone. And let us be open to the others. Let us Let us have that attitude. Lord, bless me through this brother. Bless me through the sister. Even those whom we don't know, God wants to bless us through. And maybe we can make it a point to meet more and more brothers and sisters in the body whom we don't know currently. We can break away from our normal friends, the friends with whom we are normally together. And we can make this our goal. Lord, let me in the coming years get to know others who I don't know today. You have put me together with them in the same body. Let me make it my goal, Lord, to get to know them. Let me leave my friends for some time and let me go out and meet others. And I can say I have been blessed. That has been my goal. And slowly, slowly, I have made it a point to get to know more and more brothers in the body. And I have been tremendously blessed and enriched through them. We heard about a few marks of spiritual growth. I thought one or two things I can quickly mention and close. One mark of spiritual growth is that we are growing in a fear of God, that there is an increasing reverence in our life for the Lord, that what the Lord has said is becoming more and more precious to us, and we are becoming more and more careful about our speech, about our conduct, about avoiding sin. There's a quickness to obey God's word. If we know it is written, there is a quickness in us to obey His word. I was thinking about Abraham in Genesis 22. We don't have to turn. God says at the end, "Now I know that you fear God." But at the beginning of that chapter in verse 3, there is an expression which says, "Early the next morning, Abraham rose." God spoke to him the previous night. Abraham rose early the next morning. There was a fear of God. There was a reverence of God. There was a quickness to obey the Lord. And we can also learn from Abraham's example. Whatever the Lord has spoken to us in the past, that there is a quickness in us to obey that. And another mark that we are growing, another mark of spiritual growth is that we are valuing fellowship more and more. You know, brothers and sisters, fellowship is something we have to go after. It'll not come to us. We have to value it and go after it. And if we value it, we will make time for it. It'll become a priority in our life. And we will look for opportunities. I was reading Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We can just quickly turn to that. Acts 2, 46. "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." We see about the early church here, one mark was that they were meeting each other frequently. Here it says, daily, day by day, they were making it a point to visit other homes and get fellowship. They were having their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. May God revive that in us, brothers, that we would really value visiting the other godly homes in our midst, and we would value that fellowship. And one last verse, one more way we can grow, Proverbs 11:25. We know that well-known verse, "He who waters others will himself be watered." We can see, brothers and sisters, if any of us feel this morning we are not growing, if any of us feel there is a dryness in our life, we can check and ask ourselves, Lord, am I watering others? Am I taking time? Is it a desire of my heart to water the younger ones, to water the thirsty ones, to water the ones whom I can help? If we do that little bit of watering somebody in need, God is faithful to water us. And I can say in my testimony, I've desired to water others and God has watered me. And God wants to do that for each one of us, brothers and sisters. If we have a care and a concern for the others, God Himself will water us. So may God bless this word to our hearts this morning. Maybe as we go back home, let us meditate on what God has spoken to us, and let us go to God and say, Lord, give me this growth, Lord, that comes from you alone. Amen.